special at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still too early to knock. And the dusty light shines down on the block and reflects up and down on the hands of the clock. 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Morning, we're here live today, and that was 6 o'clock by the Lovin' Spoonful, and followed by Hello, Bonjour, Michael Franti and Spearhead. Last week there was a surprise preemption, and we had the Donovan show all set for you, and that, if you want to listen to Donovan, who was here, he played New York City last night, didn't get to see him, but he was here, that show was actually aired last Thursday, December 1st, morning at 5 a.m., so you can go to the archives and hear Donovan, which is kind of a groovy thing. So for today's show, we're going to go to Oz, and we're going to speak with holistic healer and medical intuitive Catherine Bright. And then earlier in the week, I spoke with Candy Mossett, and she is at the Ocetti Chaconi camp in Standing Rock with an update because it's been quite a week there. Every day at camp is very changeable, and things just move, and it's constant motion. You don't know what's going to happen next. But this week was especially so. So I want to catch up on everything that happened, and Candy was one of the best people to speak with to catch up and get the lowdown on what's happening on that. So I guess without further ado, we're just going to go to the land down under. And, we're going to play the song. Thanks.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A woman go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
So here we go, Down Under with Catherine Bright. Catherine's a diploma-qualified and accredited naturopath, Bowen therapist, iridologist, reflexologist, remedial masseur, and Reiki master teacher, hypnotist, and medical intuitive and all-around good person. She and her husband, Kim, are often guests on this show. we've had an intention of doing them monthly, but somehow with preemptions and different things, that hasn't happened. So we haven't spoken to Catherine for a while, but good morning, Catherine, and good evening in Oz.
Hello, how are you, Helena?
I'm good. So, nice Catherine to here. Hear you. Yeah, it's 10 o'clock over
too.
There.
It's 10 p.m.
All right.
Our time tonight for you.
Yeah.
We're living in a time warp, and we're having a very beautiful hot day today. It would be probably the equivalent of about 90 degrees.
Wowie.
Yeah, it's just been really, really nice. And I would like to say thank you for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you for playing that song, because actually The Land Down Under, that is iconic down here, that song. It's almost our national anthem, I think.
Is that right?
And I grew up in the 80s when that first came out. I was in my 20s, and listening to that song, it was the cult song for all of us. So that was just awesome
to get
announced to that song. I feel like you made my life.
Oh, with just that little thing. I'm just so happy. Yeah, I've been thinking about playing that. Every time you've been on, it's like that's your official theme song to come on.
Oh, truly? Gosh, I'm so honored. I love that.
I love it, too. Actually,
the rest of the population of Australia is going, what?
Hey, you know what? With all due respect, it beats Waltzing Matilda, okay?
I totally agree with you.
All right. It's my opinion only, but.
No. It makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm here today to hopefully inspire people to peace.
Peace,
this
yeah.
This is my mission.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I think it's why I came to the planet, and it's something that, you know, I'm very passionate about is well-being, people being in integrity in their heart, showing compassion, not violence, to achieve some sort of cohesion for the human race. You know, that's my message. That's what our show today is going to be about.
Mm.
And, you know, I've originated a modality called Theta Resonance at All Levels, which teaches people to connect to the creative source and hear communication back. And one of the reasons I've done that is so that I think if every person on the planet was empowered to their spirit and understood how to talk to spirit, they wouldn't want ego and violence, because it wouldn't make sense. It would be as simple as that. So, you know, I think the passion that I have, you know, it's like a lot of the indigenous races around the world have the same passion, and it's to be in accord with Mother Nature, to be in accord with spirit and the universe, not to be out of balance and power broking and dominance and that type of thing, which is a forceful energy. But it's not an energy of compassion, and it's not an energy that we should be striving to in enlightenment. So, you know, I think I'm one of many who at the moment are very, very aware of the challenges that we're facing at the moment in this incredibly cruel world sometimes, and that we have every potential to change the group consciousness by holding another resonance for ourselves and moving the whole of humanity forward by love.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting, as you know, because everyone knows what goes on in the States. We, unfortunately, kind of insular and don't always know what's going outside. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on here. But, you know, with...
Very aware of that, actually.
Pardon?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're very aware of that. Like, Standing Rock is going around Facebook viral over here.
Yeah.
It's something so important to us, you know, the quality of your water. You know, we have the Great Barrier Reef. Which
with
at the
moment coral
is going through a dieback.
Oh my God! Warming. Coral.
Yeah, water. I mean, it's the basis of all life here.
Yeah.
And without clean and good water, what are we? And you know, it's not about the dominance and the power broking. That only serves to hold humanity back from peace and from discussion and sharing some sort of common love. And you can't force anything in the world. You have to negotiate. And as soon as we get that sort of understanding, we won't have the conflicting messages, you know, against sources, you know, wisdom, really.
Well, it's interesting, though, that right now at this point in time, you know, our country elected someone that, you know, just is the opposite of everything you're saying, or seems to be. And what's even more scary than him, I think, is all the people that he's putting into place. So it could be a real horror show with or without him, you know, even if something happens and he's no longer president, the people that are that he puts in place are just super scary. Okay, so we've got that happening. You have Standing Rock, where innocent people that are not protesters, just water protectors, are there for the sake of Mother Earth, for protecting clean water, are being villainized, and more than villainized, they're being bodily harmed in severe ways. I mean, military actions are being taken against them. So there's such disparity between the truth of the peace inside and that love. But I, in a way, with all of this insanity happening and everything so black and so white and so clear, it really gives us the opportunity to make that change and to look inside. One of the things I found to be so deep at Standing Rock is the action of the Native people. And in that action, it's prayerful action and knowing that prayer works and praying for these people at the Dakota Access Pipeline, praying for the people at the company Energy Transfer Partners, praying for the president who's sitting on his hands and not doing anything. And if I had to say what was going to happen, I'd say he's not going to do anything at all, you know, aside from make some political statements, if he even goes that far. But I don't know.
At what's happening in all around the world, you know, like Syria, all the other countries, everything where there is war and there is disparity. And there is something very basic and very simple that people need to get about what we're witnessing all over the planet. And it is something that we often don't think about. We believe we're separate from each other. We believe we're separate from everything else that is not what we identify with. That's how humanity tends to form its reality. Instead of understanding that every single concept in science, you know, you blow that molecule right down to its basis. You go to the smallest thing and they find nothing inside it.
Space.
We're all built from thought. You know, we're all built from a nothing, all of us. And every thought that we think creates, every frequency that we have creates, every group consciousness on this planet is creating a reality. What we need to do is understand that, you know, you have an opportunity in your thought. You have an opportunity to create from that thought anything at all. And so the predominant resonance, the predominant reality that you hold is the reality that becomes yours and creates everything around you. So, you know, you look at what you've got there. There are a lot of people thinking something which is creating almost a volume that, you know, like a charge that goes ahead of itself. The fear that was in America that Trump would get in created it. There is a lot of discord, a lot of people being dissatisfied with the other aspect of government. You know, over here we even hear people saying, I didn't want to vote for either of those two people, but I didn't have anybody else that was better. Why didn't Bernie Sanders get up? You know, there are so many things. It's not just America, though. It's everywhere. You know, in Australia we have problems. A lot of people in Australia are very unhappy about the way that refugees are treated here. And the boat people who come in are, you know, put on Manus Island and basically forgotten about. And a lot of people are not aware of what the Australian government has been using as its modus operandi, you know, to have fear, fear of strangers, fear of anything that's different to us.
Can you
and
just
that's the human paradigm.
What island did you say that was? I'm unfamiliar with that, so maybe you can...
Manus Island, M-A-N-U-S. It's an island that does not belong to Australia. It's slightly out of our boundary. And the Australian government has a regulation now that says anybody who tries to get into Australia illegally, which obviously we're surrounded by sea, so the only way they can do it is in the boat. So anyone who, you know, people smugglers are profiting in other countries to get overloaded boats, people dying trying to get here to get freedom. So to discourage that, the government has said, we'll stick everybody who tries to come in illegally onto Manus Island. You'll never be part of Australia. And so they're just literally left there for years getting processed because there's a backlog of all these people catching up. And now there's a thing with America. The Australian government has made an agreement with the American government to say that you will take a lot of these refugees off Manus Island instead of them coming to Australia. But then that's in doubt because Trump's got in. So will he agree to the same thing that's already been agreed when he takes over? So, you know, none of us are separate.
No,
everybody, all these countries, you know, it boils down to people and pain, really, or people and joy. when we go to the very basis of what is the spark of love, what is the spark of light, you know, what is the rainbow made of? It's made of light. You know, mm-hmm. light makes rainbows. Every opportunity, every thought we have can create change if we will embrace it. And people go into hopelessness. They go into, you know, a state of being fed up, and then they fight in frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is really a manifestation of trying to equalize a frequency and entrain something higher, you know, to bring it up and to enlighten it. We've seen the headlines of also people who have been witnessing atrocity and have been in law enforcement who have said, I won't participate with this. I'm not going to harm.
Right.
That's a great thing, you know, to see someone say, no, I can't do this. I'm going to pray with you. So we're all given opportunities to adapt, I suppose, and to interpret the headlines, to interpret, you know, your next door neighbor, to interpret the light itself. And I remember hearing Wayne Dyer once give an analogy, which I thought was brilliant. And it was a man dropped his car keys on the ground in his lounge room, and it was dark in his lounge room, and he was floundering around and he couldn't find them. And then he saw the light out on the street was on, so he walked outside, and then he started looking for his car keys in the grass, even though he lost them in his lounge room
mm-hmm.
because he was under the light. And then his neighbor came out and said to him, what are you looking for? And he said, oh, I'm looking for my car keys. You want to help me? And he said, yes. So he's helping him, and he said, well, I can't find your car keys. And he said, oh, no, they're not here. They're in the lounge room. And the man looked at him and said, you're nuts. What are you doing out here looking for your car keys? He said, oh, because I'm looking for, you know, there's light here. And the man just looked at him and said, nothing you just said made sense because your car keys are over there, you know. And that's how humanity works. You know, we get really distracted by something that we think in our head will make logical sense, and we'll go and do something really divorced from our inner self.
Yeah.
You know, the car keys were inside his house, but he's gone outside his house to try and find them. It's kind of an analogy for being in the core of self. You know, what you're looking for really is a way to come to terms with yourself in the bigger picture of this universe, in the love and the light of the heart. But you'll go outside yourself and find every distraction, headline and everything else to take you away from the core. And if we all stopped and went inside, we wouldn't need to do that. Then yeah. There would be love.
Yeah, it depends so much on going inside and on each of us individually. Just finding that place inside, being still. And, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, a couple of minutes even of just that quietness and understanding who we are and that we're connected. I mean, when you see someone on the street, I mean, and sometimes that's the hard part, the disparity. You think of, you know, someone like Trump, and not even to put him down, but who's really lived – he probably feels he knows about the common man, but he's lived a life of such privilege that he can't really relate to the trials and things that people go on and live through at times, you know, of not having enough this, that, or the other thing, but they get through it and, you know, and just keep functioning and going. So it's not having, you know, he may think he's compassionate or knowing, but he's kind of clueless, you know. And it's not just him, it's all of us.
Well, compassion can only be built if you can truly understand forgiveness from within. You know, if you are looking for an opportunity to accept and to assess the world from a better space, you'll have compassion. You know, when you flow with your true soul purpose.
Well, go back a step.
That's really good into you. Beg your pardon?
Go back a step. What do you mean by knowing forgiveness from within?
All of us have, you know, have experiences in our lives, mm-hmm. and most of us, I don't think there's probably anyone on the planet who hasn't had a bad experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
When you go through your life and you deal with things which are really tough. No matter whether you've got a lot of money or you don't, I'm sure he's had tough times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of us has an opportunity when we deal with something to find within that a gift.
Yeah.
And if we can find within that the gift, we succeed, whether that experience has been rotten or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been beaten, if you've had a domestic violence relationship and you succeed in getting out of that with your self-esteem repairable, that's a success.
Yeah.
You know, but someone could look at that and go, but you got in that relationship in the first place, you're stupid. Or they could go, you know, why did you stay so long? I wouldn't have. And they can judge. That's mm-hmm. not compassion.
Mm-mm.
If they go, wow, you know, that was a really tough experience. What did you learn from that? Is there any way in which I can make you feel better about yourself?
Mm.
That's compassion.
Yeah.
So what we're doing when we separate ourselves from anyone, whether it's Hillary or Trump or anyone, we see ourselves in some way as a judge. And we don't understand what that person has been through in their life. We may not agree with what they're doing, but we don't really understand them. You know, we don't really know how to come from a place of compassion if we judge them, because we've already put them in a box. If they do evil, bad, and horrible things, then we, you know, will automatically consider every thought we have about them to be completely fixed and judged, and we will know that we want nothing to do with them. We will know that they're bad. We will know that they're evil. We will know that they need punishing. That will be the way the ego will treat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll come at everything from that space. It's what the law enforcement officers are doing to the Indians at Standing Rock. They're saying, you are wrong. You are bad. You're in our way. We have a focus. We have a purpose, and you're not doing what we want. And whatever motivation they're driven by, whether that's money or whether they're fearful of getting in trouble from authorities above them, or whatever is happening there, there is a force which is not in accord with compassion operating against people who are operating from compassion, who are sitting there going, this is compassion, we want clean water,
mm-hmm.
we're going to align to spirit, and we're going to pray that this will resolve itself. They're being an example of compassion to teach the people who are not being compassionate, to give them an opportunity in the bigger picture to find compassion.
Absolutely.
We take it into the minuscule instead of in the bigger picture. Everything that's happening on this planet is trying to teach humanity compassion.
Mm. Would you talk about self-forgiveness and the importance of that?
It's very important, because if you don't forgive yourself and you are the center of your universe, then you are entraining everything around you to unforgiveness. If you look at it from the broadest perspective, that we're put here in the first place is to learn all there is. If you cannot forgive yourself, then you have judged yourself without compassion. That makes you unstable. It makes your core left or right of center. It makes your judgment come from a place of inadequacy and lack, and the universe is by nature an abundant place. You know, I wrote my book, Creator's View on Compassion, A Guide for Life. And I did that on, you know, by talking to Creator and channeling down letters on all different topics to help people, because a lot of the reason that we don't, proceed is because we have a fear of failure or success, or maybe even just a fear of ourselves. And maybe we don't think we're enough, and maybe we think we're rejected, and maybe we think we don't belong, and we get that isolationist mentality which makes us feel lesser than. If we don't forgive ourselves for anything that we feel we failed at, we harm ourselves, and the nature of compassion is not to harm. So you must have forgiveness for yourself, because otherwise you're denying that you're a spark of God. You may not always get everything right, but you doesn't mean that you don't have a value to be here to exist.
Yeah.
And even, you know, even the most intolerant person on this planet feels somewhere lonely. You know, that they don't give themselves forgiveness. That's why they're not, you know, compassionate to another, is because they've never come from a point of loving the self. You can't love anything if you don't love yourself.
That was
you can only play at it.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that, or thinking that, I mean, if we don't have that compassion and that self-forgiveness, then we can't really be a truly compassionate person.
No, and maybe you just, it's trust too. You know, it's conditioning as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we are brought up thinking we mustn't love, it's pride, you know. There can be a religious background that says, you know, pride cometh before a fall. All those other aspects which can condition us to believe that we're unworthy. You know, even in the Catholic Mass, I remember going to Mass when I was brought up a Catholic. And
me too.
Part of the spiel you hear every Sunday is, you know, to be forgiven because you're unworthy.
Yeah,
it's in the actual mantra.
Yeah.
And No, actually, I grew up and I thought,
I'm sorry.
God, that's dumb. Really, that's dumb. That's, people have put that in there. I don't think that God thinks any of us are unworthy, because why would we have been created from a spark of light to be lesser than the image of God? You know, that, it just doesn't make sense. So
I didn't catch on to that.
One of the things we all need to learn is that Zen of acceptance. I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
I am enough.
Just I am, and that in itself is enough. I am.
That's it.
Yeah.
And when you feel you are, you're not so threatened that you don't want to give.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we become selfish and acquisitional when we don't feel we're enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we're okay with ourselves, we can start to look outside. And when we look outside, we start to spread, osmotically, a sense of something coming from us forward. It's like a flow that goes out into our environment. And so if you are okay with you, it doesn't hurt you so much to say something nice about someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Catherine, let's see if anyone wants to talk with you either on this topic or, since you are a medical intuitive, if there's anything happening physically to anyone and they want to check in. Well, the number to call in is 347-335-0818. And 347-335-0818. And then meanwhile, you and I will chat for a bit more. Have maybe about ten more minutes.
Can
or
I
so.
Read you a few of the statements that I've put in my book that I think are really lovely little paragraphs while we're waiting?
Yes, please.
Okay. Just a few little statements that I value. This one: spirituality belongs happily with those who see the light in a positive way. It is your right to be spirit on the wings of change. Be at peace. The world is waiting for you. Possibilities come into reality via thought and frequency intention. Be your own rainbow. God loves us all equally. Perfection is already here in God's eyes. It is you. Once upon a time, there was insecurity and doubt. Now the light of creation provides us with so much potential to be that we must embrace it. Give yourself a hug every day. By beginning with the self, osmosis takes it to all on the planet via your inner knowingness. Love is all. You may see yourself as small, but your voice is no less loud. Be a child of grace and beauty, and all things in this world manifest for you as joy. You have the right to encourage happiness today. How we perceive our reality is how we receive it. Who are you? Why are you? When are you? Where are you? The questions of the ego, which can be healing in self-reflection. You are, so be. Be a nature lover, and nature will love you back. Watch how a smile becomes an exponential gift. The beauty held in soulful eyes cannot be described completely in language. Creation is viewed in the eyes of the soul. Being is existence. Existence belongs to all, and vibrancy is the frequency of all that is. Peace comes when you least expect it, usually when you give it all up and let go and let God. Zen, silent contemplation, and peace are synonymous. Discover a universe full of possibilities and potentials. Sit in silence and contemplate. You do not have to force action. There is no need to fulfill expectations that others have set for you. Be and allow your light to find itself. Speak, breathe, and love well with God. You do not have to be a preacher to know the joy of love, peace, and heart. You do have to be conscious. Many people feel challenged by the incredible cruelty demonstrated within humanity. We have more potential as a race to succeed in light. Anger is not God's way of dealing with conflicting thought. When Jesus prayed for all, he meant it. Integrity is God's perfection. Creation is full of forgiveness as well as love and light. Do you like that so far?
I do, and I want to say you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 on the dial and WBAI.org on the web. I do like it, and one thing that came up, the world is waiting for you, and just how important it is for each of us to know that we're our own unique person, and we all bring something, and it's all different. And if I don't bring the same thing you're bringing, doesn't make me bad, better, or whatever. It's the essential gift that each of us have in just being who we are and letting our own light shine and just being who we are. And that is the gift. And yeah, bringing that all to the world. Yeah, it's so important, I think.
Well, it is. And like, that's one of the reasons I wrote this actual book, you know, The Creator's View on Compassion, A Guide for Life. It was because I often get asked, you know, in practice and by people when I'm doing counseling or medical intuitive work, you know, how can I be okay with myself? How can I, you know what to do next? So in this book, you know, there are letters from Creator, but there are also many statements like that you can just open it up and get a guidance, you know, and I found that was invaluable because support from someone else sometimes is what we need because we don't believe ourselves.
Yeah, that validation. And it's like, oh, yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And to know it and to feel it and to be it. Because
that's it.
And
I'm in favor of an extremely good laugh, you know. That's how I get through the tough stuff.
Yeah. You got to, It's like, this is so weird that it's just really funny, you know, because it's,
Yeah, exactly. You've got to laugh sometimes. It's the only thing you can do.
And it works.
You know, I love that then sometimes that's all you can do because Creator said to me, you know, laughter is the biggest force in the universe alongside love.
Mm.
And if we were all laughing, you know, no one would be able to harm anything if they were really laughing in love.
Yeah.
It'd just be the blissfulest place to be, wouldn't it?
It'd be fun. It'd be fun. Yep. And laughter is great. Do you know what? We're not getting calls, and that's okay. Maybe people are sleeping. Hopefully they're not.
They probably are.
Or just not too awake to call, but hopefully they're listening. We'll have you back again probably in the new year, next year.
Well, it's not that far away, is it, It's only a month from now. Gosh, I can't believe that. Thank you so much for having me on here, Helena.
Oh, it's my good pleasure. It really is. You know what? Just one other, just briefly, but if you could just talk about how quickly this year went and this perception of this of time going in a flash.
Yeah, it's happening over there too, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were actually having that conversation today. You know, it struck us as just an event that had happened and things like putting up the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to put up the Christmas tree now for Christmas time and we were saying, God, didn't we just put that away in the garage? I'm sure we just put that away. We'll pick it out again.
Let's do the time warp again. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll love this. I'm actually appearing in a musical here called Meander on Broadway in May.
Uh-huh.
And one of the songs I'll be in the chorus and dance the time warp.
Great song. Great song.
Music as well. So, you know, there are great things happening. But back to your topic.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Back to your
couldn't help it.
It is a perception at the moment. What is happening is, and it's scientific, actually, in my view, the planet is, it's a concept of time energetically.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is as the planet is enlightening, the frequency is enlightening, so things are speeding up slightly, frequency being a little bit finer, a little bit higher, a little bit faster. That's one aspect of consciousness. So time is not as dense. If you are working with the speed of light, so to speak. If you are playing with light, if you're working the rainbows, if you're busy, you know, things can just go by because you end up in the theta brainwave a lot. And in theta brainwave, there is no time and space. So when you're dreaming, when you're conceiving of things, when you're in dreamland and you're on rote, and when you are working hard for a greater good, you find that time tends to speed up and you lose track of time, often because the frequency is enlightening around you. That's one possibility.
Okay.
And I find that very interesting. It's also a little bit to do with the magnetics and the sun and, you know, polarities that things are shifting at the moment. But in a general concept, I think it's because we're also preoccupied as well with our thoughts and our mind to the point where we are trying to escape from what is happening around us. And one thing that I've been really looking at lately is when people are in fear and in stress, they tend to do anything they can to preoccupy their mind to avoid it, or they're going to feel like they're too anxious and they go nuts.
Yeah.
When you are
trying to escape, mm-hmm.
yeah, you go into dreamland, you know, when you're trying to escape and avoid, or when you're preoccupied and you're really hammering mm-hmm. and doing much more than you really want to be doing, time literally changes concept. The way your mind picks up time changes concept. And I think that, you know, the world is generally a place where people are getting really stressed and trying to avoid being really stressed and are doing anything they can to take themselves out of their realities.
Thank you.
And I think that's part of it.
All right. I gave you a very big topic to talk about in like 2 minutes, so I'm sorry about that.
Too big, but that's a little bit of it.
Thank you so much. Okay. We'll catch you next year. Best regards to Kim. All the best for the holidays.
Okay, yep.
Take care. So, and your website is KatherineBrightAustralia.com. If anyone wants to get a hold of you or learn more about you, get your books, or even have consultations with you.
Certainly can. And lots
All right.
of love and light there to everyone. And be the
Thank
wings
you.
Of change. Let's be the wings of change.
Thanks, darling. Be well. Cheers. Okay. We're just going to hear a little bit from Reverend Billy. That is the right Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. And Reverend Billy is on WBAI on Thursdays at 5 p.m. You can hear them live, and they're good. They're really, really good. And the name of the song was Fabulous Bad Weather. What will you do? One of the things you should do is go to Standing Rock and stand with everybody. The week there has been pretty wild. It's literally been rocking and rolling at Standing Rock. Oh, and that was Uncle Billy's, Reverend Billy's CD, The Earth Wants You. And to quote Reverend Billy, Earth-a-looyah. So over at Standing Rock this week, just a whole host of different things. It started with the Army Corps of Engineers asking for evacuation by the 5th of December. Then Governor Dalrymple... Governor Dalrymple asked for an immediate evacuation at the beginning of a snowstorm. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? None of this does. And then he also said emergency services like ambulances and snow plowing of roads might not be provided. And actually, someone at Standing Rock, John Walton, a photographer and a water protector, an environmentalist, took a picture, and you could see there's a barricade on Route 1806, that right north of the camp. And from there on in, the road is clean. you see a black road, you see blacktop, and on the other side it's all ice and snow. So he's holding, Governor Dalrymple's holding true to that. He also, Governor Dalrymple wanted to stop supplies coming into camp and then change that to anyone bringing supplies would be fined $1,000. So just to kind of get more clear on what was going on, I spoke with Candy Mossett, Eagle Woman, of the Indigenous Environmental Network to know what was happening. So I want to play that for you now. And Candy, when we were talking, she was in a yurt on Facebook Hill, keeping warm. And so let's listen to Candy right now, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more in the remaining minutes we have.
Dosha. So I'm going to introduce myself in my Hidatsa language. And so Dosha Marigua Marishima Aishuwia Het. So I said, hello, relatives. My name is Eagle Woman. My English name is Candy Mossett. I am Mandan Hidatsa Arikara from North Dakota here. Born and raised on what's known by the government as the Fort Berthold Reservation, about 3 hours northwest of the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota, right in the heart of the Bakken Formation, which is where the oil is currently being extracted and dug up in my community and has been since about 2008. That is the oil that is proposed to come through the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Thank you, Candy. And you are on the ground now at the Ocheti Shekoni Camp, and you're in a yurt on Facebook Hill, sometimes known as Media Hill as well. And there's so much happening this week. Things are always very fluid at camp, constantly moving. But right now it's even more than ever with first the evacuation notice from the Army Corps of Engineers for December 5, then the immediate evacuation notice that came, I think, 2 days ago from Governor Dalrymple's office and him saying that you may not have emergency services provided to the camp, him trying to stop supplies from coming in, and now that's turned into anyone bringing supplies is to be fined $1,000. Can you bring us up to speed on that part? And then there's even more questions I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So there's another update where they backtracked and said that they would not be targeting individuals nor fining them $1,000 because a lot of questions got brought up around the legality of that particular statement that was made. And so that has also been backtracked upon. We know that the U.S. Army National Guard and the police forces will not be used to remove any of the water protectors on December 5th. And we know that with the 2,000 veterans that are coming in, starting now, actually, there are people coming in December 3rd, that what they intend to do, if necessary, is to form a human shield protecting the water protectors. Because as veterans that fought already for this country, many of whom were also injured, they feel that it is a crime against United States citizens for us to be treated the way we have been. And their job and their role as U.S. Army veterans is to protect the citizens of this country, and that is what they are vowing to do if necessary. Many of the talks that I've been in have about planning and logistics for the vets are completely around peace and peaceful demonstrations. They are not bringing ammunition. They are bringing their armor. And so they won't have guns. They won't come in here armed as a request of this peaceful, prayerful ceremony that we have going on here at the Ocheti Shekoni camp. And so there's going to be a International Peace Day on December 5th with the vets and with the people of the camp. Well, they'll be gifted a white horse. And on December 6th at the Prairie Nights Casino in the pavilion, there will be a huge powwow that's going to be put on in place of the vets, in honor of the veterans. And so really good things are happening here on the ground. It's the state that seems to be struggling, the state of North Dakota, with the proper authority that they do or do not have on water protectors that are on unceded treaty territory. If the federal government followed the United States Constitution and followed their own laws, they would honor the treaties of 1851 and 1868, in which this land was never ever given by the tribe to the government. You can also flash forward to 2014, where there are several reports, papers, in fact, recordings of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe telling Dakota Access Energy Transfer Partners that they do not want this pipeline. So for over 2 years now, they have been saying no, and the company has been bullying their way forward and pushing their way into something, making it seem like they had consultation with the tribe, and the tribe agreed, and the tribe never agreed. And so that's something that the media needs to know and share as well.
It is, because there's been some reports to the opposite of that. I was listening to New York radio the other night, and falsities saying that, well, the tribe never spoke up. They never said anything until the last minute, and it's not true. So you've just clarified.
Oh, it's absolutely not true. There's evidence. There's proof. There's no there's no reason to believe the propaganda that's being put out. But when it comes to any kind of situation like this, multi-billion dollar corporation, oil and gas, when that kind of thing is involved, especially in the United States, you're going to have the propaganda. You're going to have the lies and the smear campaigns. And we've certainly seen our fair share of rumors going on, and we're working, you know, to change that narrative. And all it takes is for people to get on standwithstandingrock.net or even Indigenous Rising Media, and you can see the reports that we're putting out contrary to the rumors that are trying to be started and the propaganda that's trying to be spread.
That's excellent. And, you know, you mentioned about being at camp, it being prayerful and a ceremony. I've been there, and I understand, and it totally is that. Can you explain that to our listeners, what that means?
The entire thing started out in prayer and ceremony. This camp itself has been here since April 1st. Not the Ocheti Shekoin camp, but the Sacred Stone Spirit Camp, which is the original camp just south of the Cannonball River, on the reservation boundary, and also on our Army Corps of Engineer land, because they manage the lands right near the Missouri River. That's LaDonna Allard's private land, and she's the nearest landowner to the pipeline. So they started the camp April 1st, and a handful of people, sometimes five, maybe the numbers would swell to 30, were in that camp. So in August, when the 48-hour notice went out that they were going to begin building a road to the river, LaDonna got on Facebook and did a call out asking people to come. Little did she know that there was going to eventually be thousands of people, which is why Ocheti Shekoin camp now exists, because it was being called the Overflow Camp, and that was just not a good name. And so the seven council fires were set up here at the camp, and that's what Ocheti Shekoin means, the seven council fires of the great nation of the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people. And we have been here in directions directly from the spirits, the ceremony that told us we had to remain peaceful, we had to remain prayerful, and we had to remain like stones. One stone can be moved by the river, but a group of stones can stand together and the water will part around it. If we remained in this way, we would win. And that is why we have not been taking up arms, why we have not been going to the front lines with anything but our bodies and our sage and our drums and our prayers ever since the beginning. And so that's been the beauty of this. In addition to that is the diversity that exists here. There are definitely a lot of allies, non-Native allies, that have come to the camp. Some, most, very well-intentioned and very well-meaning. A couple, you know, seeking enlightenment and here to, you know, absorb culture. You know, that's going to happen. That's the reality. For the most part, harmless, but we've had to get them, you know, get to work, go chop some wood, get in the kitchen, you know, don't just be there eating the food, you know. So, you know, when you have what we have here, about 4,000 or 5,000 now, and at one point over, especially the long weekend, we had just over 10,000, maybe even more. So it's a community. In North Dakota, many of the towns aren't even this size. And so we have that here. And we've been doing very, very, very well in being in prayer and keeping the sacred fire lit since the very beginning. And it's just amazing to see how people have come together in strength, unity, diversity under one cause, which is much, much more than to just stop a pipeline. It's a reimagining of what we can be in this country and in the world when it comes to the way we live upon the land. And so people are really taking into account what we as Natives have been saying for over 500 years, which is that capitalism is not sustainable, and at the root cause of capitalism is fossil fuel extraction.
Yeah, and all the greed and this idea of not enough, when there's more than enough if we use everything in a good way.
That's exactly right. I mean, you can quote Gandhi, who said, we have more than enough resources for people's needs. We don't, however, have enough for people's greed.
Yes.
And that is so true. And especially in the United States, it's just become a really sad state of affairs that in this country, people feel they have to leave to other countries to slow down their pace of life, to have quality family time. They leave the United States and go to other countries where life is a bit slower and a bit more laid back. It's like we've become this rat race on this never-ending spinning wheel, like a gopher, mm-hmm. and we're not reaching anything. We're not getting anywhere. We're not making goals. We're just making our lives more difficult and harder on our family systems. And we don't have to live that way. We've just been fed propaganda for so long, and propaganda that's based on consumerism and continued growth and a throwaway society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming to nip us in the bud. That's why we have climate, or it's coming back to haunt us. We have to nip it in the bud, because that's where we're getting climate chaos. We're seeing strong, intense storms. We're seeing droughts in some locations, floods in other locations. The polar ice caps continue to melt. Ocean waters continue to rise. Temperatures continue to rise. I mean, you can go back a decade. This year was hotter than last year. Last year was hotter than the year before. I mean, there's a trend. You know, people have to at some point in time wake up and realize that the science is there too. You don't have to just listen to somebody like me. You can look at the science and see that we are in climate chaos, and that it is anthropogenic. You know, it is human-induced. And so we have to take those steps to change the way we live upon the land and to have a lot more respect. That's why as natives, we say Mother Earth. You can say however you want to say it, but mm-hmm. the earth, it, like a mother, is what sustains life. I mean, we grow our food in the soil. We drink from the water. We breathe the air, and we cannot do any of that if it's polluted and contaminated.
We cannot, and that's why it's so wonderful to see all the non-native people supporting everyone, all of you guys that are there, because we're waking mm-hmm. up and learning, and to follow and to learn from you and to understand your ways, because you are the keepers of Mother Earth. And no, and, you know, had we been following your ways all along, we wouldn't be in this mess. And now we're in this mess, and we'll all have to dig out of it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, we're still here. We're still saying the same thing. We're not saying, I told you so.
No,
we're not like that.
Not.
We're saying, thank you for joining us. Let's yeah. fight in this fight together, because it's important. I mean, sometimes it just takes people to hit rock bottom first, or, you know, to just learn the hard way. And mm-hmm. I myself am guilty of learning the hard way when
sure.
it comes to certain things. You know,
yeah.
it's kind of human nature.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have to sometimes see the downside of things to realize that we made a mistake. And that's okay. It's just that we have to make sure that we are realizing the mistake and that we are working to correct it together. And there's a lot of education that needs to happen out there, because we're just south of Bismarck, North Dakota, and Bismarck has been, the residents, not all of them, but, you know, they've been showing aggression and negativity towards water protectors. I mean, I lived in Bismarck for 9 years, and I know what it's like to live in the state that racism exists. It's alive and well.
Oh, it's big
and
time.
It's ironic that they don't understand the water protectors, or that they're not standing with us, because
yeah.
they didn't want the pipeline either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely foolish, and the racism is rampant. I mean, we had stories on the air of, you know, two people being in front of the judge, a Native man and a white man, and the Native man, and they were both doing arrested at the same time in the same place doing the same thing. The Native man gets 4 counts against him. The white man gets 1. No, it's
mm-hmm.
it's wrong. It's way wrong. And, yeah, mm-hmm. and the Ace Hardware thing and not wanting to sell and then changing their mind and wanting, and then it's okay. Insanity, real insanity. I mean.
Yes, it is. And we've always been behind in North Dakota. I'm born and raised here. So, you know, I would visit a friend in California that was, you know, rocking a song that just came out, and you know, we'd be rocking that song 5 years later in North Dakota. So it's just kind of like we're in this central. We are the geographic center of North America, and we kind of are behind in a lot of ways and a lot of policies. The police force is behind in a lot of ways. The people here are behind in a lot of ways. We have local radio stations and local press that has a monopoly. I mean, Informed Communications is the only communications in the entire state, and they're now owned by a Texas-based company that has money in the oil industry. And so people tend to believe what they hear on the radio here and what they read in the newspaper because that has been their reliable source of information. So it's not like we can totally blame them for believing what they read in the news, because that's where you're supposed to get news from. They just need to have more education around how sometimes people are lied to, and that's the reality of the world. People are really nice and a bit naive here.
Well, I mean, the main thing is, though, the heart and soul of the camp. And, I mean, given all these, pardon the phrase, slings and arrows that everyone hasn't even thought about leaving, it just makes the feeling stronger to stay together and work together. And do you have any idea how long the vets plan to stay, or will they just be there maybe for a few days, or some stay, some not?
Some will stay, some will go back. The idea was that they would have their main events the 4th through the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the 3 days of the main events. But, of course, I can't speak on behalf of, you know, over 2,000 vets. But I do know that some will stay. Some are already here on the ground, and some are from here. You know, some are from Standing Rock, North Dakota. There's vets that are joining in the fight here, too.
Great.
And so it'll be great. Some of them plan to be here for the long haul, for the duration. We have a vet that walked here from Oklahoma to North Dakota and just arrived yesterday, and he's staying until as long as it takes.
It's all so good.
His name is Chris Turley. So if you get a chance to read or learn about Chris Turley, a native vet that walked here from Oklahoma, it's just a pretty amazing thing.
It is. It's excellent. And he is on Facebook, and I haven't watched his video yet, and I will. Wow. Thank you so much, as always.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm Earth Mom, and that was Candy Mossad from the Indigenous Environmental Network. And as she said, a group of stones can stand together and the water will part around. So stand with Standing Rock. You can go to the website, standwithstandingrock.net. Pray for the water protectors. We'll see you next week. Love you. Have a great week. Be well. And thank you to Sean Rhodes, and to Reggie Johnson and Max Schmid for pre-records. Thank you all.
You say that once you knew for sure, now you're walking in the shore to wonder. The more you learn, the less you know. The more you move, the more you go to nowhere.